And now from Sin City, the hottest sports betting show in the nation, Friday Night Locks. With your hosts, the betting pros, Justin and Jason. So get suited up, grab a drink, and enjoy the show.
Welcome, pro football bettors. If it's Friday, it's FNL. On tonight's episode, we break down all the games fit to bet for week 5 of the NFL regular season. What's up, Jay? What's up, T?
Hi.
What up, what up, what up?
Chris Taylor with the walk-off.
Wow.
Dodgers are in. Can we beat the Giants? They refuse to lose. Please tell me we can beat the Giants.
Yes.
Absolutely. And not to mention, this is the way it's supposed to be. I'm not crazy about the fact that a team that won 106 games was playing for their lives last night, meaning that they're the wild card because the Giants won one more game than them. But that's the rules. That's the way it goes. But fittingly, the two best teams in baseball who hate each other's guts for the Battle of California, the two best teams in baseball are going to play each other, and they can't stand each other. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I didn't watch the game last night, but obviously I heard a lot of commentary from it.
No,
the Dodgers.
It was 1-1 in the ninth inning, and then Chris Taylor hit a bomb to win it. And if it wasn't for Cody Bellinger getting on base with two outs, stealing second, who knows what would have happened.
You love Cody.
I know you love Cody.
He loves him. Be careful, Jason. Be careful.
I get that. I can't stand Cody Bellinger. But I will say, props for the shaved head. I like the shaved head very much. That shows he's on a war footing. I dig that. But I'm going to tell you right now, Kylie Jansen, who's had his ups and downs this year.
Kenley Jansen. You said Kylie.
What's his name? What's his name?
Kenley.
Kylie.
Kylie Kardashian.
Kylie Jenner is basically what you said.
I thought he was going to say Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. That's so good, though. Maybe
so
I'll
Kylie
keep it
Jenner
in.
Put on her makeup on the mound.
I'm going to tell you right now, Kenley Kylie Kardashian Jansen was fucking lights out last night.
Dude, that strike, I wish I was at that game. When he struck out the third out he was in trouble. And he got out of that. When he, 3-2, boom, strike three. And all you saw was just people erupting behind him and in front of him. And then he gave that fist pump. And I was like, okay, here we go. And then they didn't really do a lot. And then Cody came up, got on base, drew the walk, immediately stole second to put the pressure on. And then clutch Taylor comes up, booyah, into the left field gate. So,
did you see Kylie Kenley Kardashian Jansen reach back, throw the high heat for that strikeout?
Dude,
that was
insane. Perfect. It was perfect.
I love it. All right. Well, listen, this is not a baseball podcast.
No,
we love the Dodgers. Go Dodgers. Kill the Giants.
Beat those Giants.
But we're going to talk some football. Week 5, so exciting. And here's the reason why week 5 is so exciting. Because we are in the Circa contest. We are doing very well in the Circa contest. We had a bad week this week. Spoiler alert. We're going to get to it. But let's talk about the positive. The positive is week 5, everybody starts back at 0 because they give out the quarter prize. Week 5, 6, 7, and 8. Whoever is the king of the hill after week 8 from week 5 will win $171,000. All right? So I'm going to quote a woman that we all know from 1984.
Oh, boy.
Is it Maya Angelou? No.
Is it Nancy Reagan?
Is it Nancy, drugs are bad, Reagan? It is not.
Oh.
But I'm gonna give you this quote heading into week 5, and I want you to put this quote on the wall like Notre Dame. They tap the quote on their way out to the field. We were sad and blue, but you made me feel shiny and new, like a virgin. All right, we are going full Madonna.
Oh God, Madonna.
On this fucking contest for the next 4 weeks. We're going to win that $171,000 because we are shiny and new. We are virgins. So I say we go full Madonna. We win these next 4 weeks, and we pick up that $171,000. Who's with me?
I'm with you, but I wanted to be clear that I have a new name for this show for myself. I want to be referred to moving forward as the Tin Man, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why the Tin Man, Justin?
Because Tom Brady took my heart out of my chest last week.
Oh, no.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm crying. I'm the Tin Man. And Dorothy, help me, Dorothy.
But they still won.
If I only had a heart.
I don't give a fuck if Tom Brady won another goddamn game. I lost. Oh. Thanks, Tom. The guy couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat or a pirate ship, for that matter.
That's not true.
Oh, he was horrible.
Tom Brady has daddy issues, and those daddy issues are named Bill Belichick.
Yeah, dude, and Mac Jones was one shank boink against the goalpost away from going home to mom and dad and saying, hey, mom and dad, guess what I did tonight? I beat Tom Brady in his own house.
Yep.
In the house that he built, mom and dad. But you know what?
He didn't.
You know why? Because
kickers suck. They have one job.
They're like relief pitchers. They come in and they blow it. That's what they do. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Novak.
Oh, I had a question, though, about the Circa real quick. So for the people who don't really know about Circa, does it goes back to zero?
The quarter
Yeah,
does.
No.
Like it starts at, you're at zero right now, and then this week you'll be...
For the contest overall, no. The contest, you are where you are.
It keeps tallying.
It goes every 4 weeks is a quarter.
Okay, so for the quarter, it starts over.
They throw out, Derek throws out a prize every 4 weeks.
Heard. Got it.
So that prize has already been handed out, or it'll be handed out at the end of the year, but they know who it is. And
Jumbo.
Now we start fresh from week 5 through week 9.
There you go. Cool.
So we're fresh.
That's a great point of clarification, T. We don't start over for the whole contest, which we are 10-10 in the contest. Respectable. We're treading water. We're going to make our move. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But before we get into week 5, we have to acknowledge the fact that we had a tough week last week. It was known as the hell week. It was known as the bloodbath week. If you listened to the pod last week, and by the way, have you guys seen our numbers on this podcast? Because I have the analytics right here. And not only is this podcast a hit, but it's the only NFL betting show that is gigantic with women.
Oh,
interesting.
Let me go inside the numbers here. 50% of our listenership is my mom. The other 50% of the listenership is T's sister. That's 100% women listening to this podcast right now. And I have to say, like, we're the anti-bro podcast, and I'm going to lean into that right now. Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
Success.
Get the high heels out. Get those Louboutins out.
All right. Enough with high heels. Let's talk about the bad news. We had a tough week last week. And you know what? Because we're men and one woman, we're going to take it on the chin. We're going to be transparent, and we're going to tell you, we told you to take Philly against KC. They did not cover. We told you that Carolina would cover the number against Dallas. Dallas spanked them. Yeah. Minnesota marched down the field, scored 7 against the Browns, and then crawled back into their hole like a scaredy cat and never scored again. We lost that one. And as Justin mentioned, he is now the star of Westworld because he does not have a human heart beating in his chest. Tom Brady took that away from him. So we were 0 for 4. Okay, yes, we were bad on our sides. But can we flip the script for a second and talk about the fact that we also recommended a teaser? What kind of teaser did we recommend to you? Well, we told you to take Tampa Bay down to 1.5. That covered. We also told you to take Carolina up to 10.5, and that covered. So what is the math on that? Let's do the math. We are 4-0 in our teasers.
4-0.
No losses, 4 wins. For those of you betting $10 million a game, you would be up $34 million if you followed our picks. Not bad for a month's worth of work.
Not bad. Chump change, if you will.
By the way, I would be remiss if I did not mention that T... You won your Survivor pick on a week. By the way, people got crushed in Survivor. They lost on the Saints. They lost on the Titans. Mm-hmm. You did not lose. You survived on the bill. So congratulations to you, T. I'd like to know what your impressions were of week four. What are you thinking?
Well, I think I was most excited, actually, about the Tom Brady game as well. And I tried to catch a couple minutes of that when I could. And I couldn't believe that it got so close, that there was a possibility of Tom Brady actually losing. But in terms of the whole weekend, a lot of people were leaning towards the Titans this week, and that was obviously a shocker and a surprise. So that knocked a lot of people out. But I quietly escaped.
Yes, 45 to nothing. Quietly.
Yeah,
escaped.
You didn't quietly
what
escape.
What a lock! You could have let. You could have laid 39.
I could have made $36 million if I had just bet that.
Yep.
Shoot. But anyways, it was a good week. It was a very exciting back and forth week with all the games. But
sure was.
I think in terms of our picks, it happens. We yep. move forward, and you know, let's hopefully this is the worst of the worst.
So what was that? What was that number, Jason? As far as people getting knocked out by the Saints and the Titans, those were big ones, right?
Those were big ones for every survivor pool. I think every survivor pool, whether it's Circa or the one that we're in or your local office pool, whatever it is, I think you're down to half.
Wow.
Let's say if you started with 200 people, there's 100 people left.
Wow.
If you're Circa, you start with 4,000 people, you're down to 2,000 people left, more or less.
And basically, too, I don't want to say bad beats necessarily because, you know, you reap what you sow, but like the Saints were up 21-10 with like 8 minutes left and let that get away. And then the Titans, you know, were a missed field goal away in overtime, you know, from taking it into double overtime or whatever, or not taking it into double overtime, but to tying it up because the Jets kicked a field goal to win it. You know, that's how close they were. So if you were on Tennessee and if you were on New Orleans, you're hot.
I feel like the Titans were, like you could almost say, okay, fine, they didn't have, you know, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. There may be an excuse there, but the Saints, man, that was really tough because they were up, what did you say, 21-10?
It was 21-10 with 8 minutes and 58 seconds left. The Saints were tick-tacking around, messing around, and then all of a sudden they punt. D'Angelo Jones just starts going and going and going, threw for over 400 yards against them. And then they kicked a field goal they scored a touchdown, They scored a touchdown, went for two, got the two-point conversion to make it 21-18, and then gave the ball back to the Saints, where the Saints still ticky-tacked and messed around, punted it back to them, where they kicked a game-tying field goal. And then in overtime, the Giants got the coin flip and took the ball down the field and scored. Un-fucking-believable.
And I know, like, Jay, you have strong ties to New Orleans. I spent a long time in New Orleans. That city did not deserve that meltdown. They were psyched. They've been through hurricane.
No.
You know, all the fleur-de-lis signs were flying up and down everywhere. And the fact that you were up by 11 and gave that game away, not cool.
Not to mention, I mean, let's not spend a lot of time on it, but not to mention, you give up 10 points to a team in almost, you know, 3+ quarters. That's domination. That's like straight domination. And then to just quit, check out, clock out, you know, the fans didn't deserve that. And that was the Katrina game. That was the Hurricane Ida game. That was they haven't been in their own beds in over a month. And you come home and you come out firing. And then you just say, nah, who cares? Sean Payton hopefully had something to say about his own self after that game. And he hopefully apologized to his squad because he called a horrible offensive game.
Like if I'm on Bourbon Street and I'm watching that game and I'm drinking a Hurricane and they lose, like, I might just finish with one Hurricane.
Hey, when give me the check.
Usually I would drink two Hurricanes and throw up in the street. But I wouldn't do that last Sunday, and that's sad.
No, give me the check.
I just go home. I don't throw up. One Hurricane. Sad.
It's like I think he thinks he still has Drew Brees who has a noodle arm. And he's throwing these little 10-yard passes from Jameis. Let Jameis go. I know he threw a lot of picks in his career, but you got to trust him at some point. Let him air it out. He's got the gun. Let him use it.
Bro, don't be on the road escaping a hurricane for a month, come home and fucking want to raise the flag for the hometown fans and let the New York crap Giants come into your building and come away with a win.
Agree. But we own up to our picks and we own up to what happens in the old NFL here. But let's move on to a new week. You know?
Let's move on. This is the recap section. So what we're recapping is last week, bad on sides, bad, 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 but great, great, great on our teaser section, undefeated, and tease survivor pick. So having said that, let's go. We're like a virgin. Week 5. Let's come in with a full head of steam. Let's get this.
All right, guys. Well, we've got a big show. Let's get into it.
The only thing more fun than watching football is betting on it. Ready to make some cash? Gentlemen, lock it up.
Okay, guys, I'm going to make this really quick because I don't think it needs much of an introduction. I am looking at this Atlanta Falcons-Jets London game. The Jets had a big win last week, as we just talked about, and the Falcons blew a huge lead last week at home. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson looked better than he's looked, I guess. You know, he threw for 297 yards. He had two TDs and a pick. Threw for a quarterback rating around 93-ish. In the year, he has four TDs with eight picks. About 230 a game with a 62.8 QBR. Not the greatest. He's got some weapons. Corey Davis is a rider. We all know that. He had seven targets, four catches, 111 in a TD, and a bomb, which was a 60-yard bomb that he caught. Jay Crowder had like nine targets, seven catches, 60 yards. You got Keelan Cole. Atlanta is number 32 in the NFL against the pass, unfortunately. Not great. The 11 TDs that they've given up is tied for 30th. So you say to yourself, why the hell would I bet Atlanta? I'm going to tell you why. Because you got a rookie quarterback coming off a huge win. You got a rookie coach coming off his first win ever. Actually, first win for both of these guys. And now you got to travel to London, and you're going to play a seasoned vet, Matt Ryan, who's pissed off to all get out. And ready for action. So Matt Ryan is having a great year, actually. He's got eight TDs and only three picks. And by his standards, that's amazing because he is prone to the pick. He is prone to the sack. So he also is going to be without Calvin Ridley. There's a lot of things right here that you're probably saying to yourself, why the hell are you on the Falcons? And that's why I'm on the Falcons, because this is the zigzag theory. This is the emotional high going to the emotional low. And the emotional low wants to turn it around, and the emotional high is due for a letdown. So in this spot, you're going to take a rookie quarterback to London. You're going to take a rookie coach to London, team that's ready to party, feeling themselves, feeling like they can win it all now. Oh, we're 0-3, and now here we go. Now watch us now. No. N-O. Give me the Falcons in this one. Give me the birds. Give me those dirty birds. Lock it up.
Bro, that handicap was sick, on point, totally agree with you. This line started out at Atlanta -4, then it went to Atlanta -3.5, then it went to Atlanta minus a field goal. Want to know why? Because everybody has the eye test. Oh, the Jets, they're back. No, they're not. And they've never played in London, and I agree with you. They're going to get over there. They're going to go party. What's bangers and mash? Well, we have to fucking get down. Hey, we're in London for the first time. You know who's not doing all that touristy rookie bullshit? Matt Ryan.
Yep.
I go with the veteran. I love this pick. I love your handicap. I'm not going to pile on and waste everyone's time. Get to the window and take the Falcons. Great pick, Jay.
Thank you, brother. Lock it up.
Jason, the Browns are once again on the road, and this time they're in L.A. to face the Chargers. How do you see this matchup this week?
As much as it pains me to say, I'm riding with Baker.
Wow. Finally!
Wow, what a smile just came to my face.
Thank you. See it. Justin's BFF. Justin always bet for MVP every season, no matter how he's doing, Baker. He loves all the commercials where he hangs out with the moms and He does the pressure wash on the stadium. And
his wife goes and gets him a hot dog.
He's got the new book club one, which is very funny. Kicking the girl out of the book club.
He does a little book club. He does a little garage sale. You know Baker's not my favorite. And since he popped his shoulder back in, Mel Gibson Lethal Weapon style, he just kind of leaned against the side of a building and popped that fucker back in. I think he's actually in a little bit of pain, and I actually think he's throwing a little wonky. And here's what else, bro. And I don't know if you know this. When OBJ plays for Cleveland, Baker is like always worried about him, always worried about getting the ball to OBJ. His passer rating goes down with OBJ. Now, having said all that, yada, 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 the Browns are getting 2 points on the road against the Chargers. The Chargers, big emotional win. Monday Night Football, primetime game against their hated rivals, the Raiders. And they got it done. Browns sitting up, extra days of rest. They go into SoFi getting 2 points. Here's what you need to know if you're a bettor. Strength against weakness, okay? Here's the bad news for the Chargers. They are dead last in stopping the run. You can Joey Bosa me all day long, all you want, but their run defense is piss poor. And you know who runs the ball really well? The Cleveland Browns. I expect Cleveland to run this ball down the Chargers' throat. They're going to control the possessions. They're going to control the clock. You want to hear some fun stats about Cleveland's defense? Here's the Browns' defense in the last 2 weeks. They've allowed the fewest points. They've allowed the fewest yards per game, the fewest yards per play. They have the largest amount of sacks with 11 sacks in the last 2 weeks. They have the greatest amount of pressures, and they have the greatest pressure rate. So here's a tale of two teams. One team coming off a huge win in a flat spot. One team who's trending up on defense, up on running, versus a dead last team against the run. Browns are 6-1 ATS against the Chargers in their last 7. Browns 4-0 against the spread on the road against teams with winning record. Chargers, a lousy 5-15 ATS record at home against teams with a winning record. So here we have, everybody's eyes are so big. Justin Herbert, MVP, he's the second coming. Oh my God. That's where you're getting your 2 points for. This game started out as pick 'em. All the money is going with the Chargers. And as Ricky Roma and Glengarry Glenn Ross said, played by Al Pacino, when everybody says one way, I bet the other way. Give me the Browns plus the points. Run it up your gullet and lock it up. What do you think, Jay?
Dude, for all those reasons, I think that I couldn't agree more. Number one, Baker's my boy. I got my Baker poster. I got my Baker shirt. I might get a Baker tattoo. I'm not sure yet.
No.
The Browns should be 4-0. You know when they say under the radar? The under the radar is that they're not 4-0. Because if they're 4-0, then everyone's like the Rams last week and the Cardinals this week. They're the hunted ones, right? They're the undefeated. They lost game one to Kansas City in Kansas City, and they blew that game. That game was won by them. They were up by, I think it was 22-7 or 22-10 at the half. And then they got smoked and lost the game. So they beat Houston. They beat Chicago. They beat Minnesota. In the Chicago game, they gave up 6. In the Minnesota game, they gave up 7. And Kirk Cousins is no slouch. He couldn't do anything with the football. That pressure that you're talking about is letting all those DBs get, you know, get sacked. So when Herbert goes back, they have time to cover because Herbert's on the run. He also is, I think, getting rushed 48% of the time he's under pressure. Now he's correct. Handling the pressure, but that's a lot of pressure. That means his O-line is collapsing. Not only is Cleveland tough on that D-line, like you mentioned, but that O-line is beast. And that's why these running backs are killing them. Not to mention, Stefanski's got a great plan. He runs the shit out of Nick Chubb until Nick Chubb needs water. And when Nick Chubb needs water, he brings in Kareem Hunt. And Kareem Hunt goes nuts. So that's why I feel like they are action-packed. And that's why when Baker Mayfield's noodle arm starts acting up and he starts overthrowing OBJ because he wants his approval so badly, he could just hand it off to Nick Chubb or hand it off. Here, Kareem, go. And that's the difference between those Browns and these Browns. And I do agree that, you know, they're coming off a huge Monday night win. I just believe that the Chargers are not prepared. Their D-line is not ready for that running game and how they're just going to go up in them. And they're going to tire these guys out. They're going to be chasing these running backs all over the field. And I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. And not only do I think the Browns are going to win outright, but I think this game is a stone-cold under for all you total bettors.
Dog pound, baby. Lock it up.
All right, let's throw it to Justin. The Titans are a road favorite in Jacksonville on Sunday. What's going to be the right side of this game?
Get those banjos out, guys.
Get
the banjos out because we're going to Broadway, baby.
Yay.
Are you going back to Rocky Top, cuz?
Dude, save a horse, ride a cowboy, homeboy. Woo! Let me tell you right now what's about to crack off. Listen to me.
This just makes me just really want to go.
Listen to me.
Nashville.
Swaller and holler.
Everyone's going to be at Reds. Red Dog. Let's go.
Nudies.
Blake.
Upside down.
Shelton's
upside down Cadillac. Let's go.
Let's go to Tootsie's because the Tennessee Titans are pissed off. They just lost to the Jets. And guess what? They had no Julio. They had no A.J. Brown. They weren't ready to roll. A.J. Brown is supposed to be back. Julio practiced yesterday, which is a good sign. You never really know with Julio what that means because he's trying to go, and then all of a sudden maybe he can't go. The guy's had hamstring issues and legs and knee issues his whole life, unfortunately. I feel like if that guy had the stamina of like a Randy Moss or a Chris Carter, he'd probably have the all-time. He'd be the all-time best receiver of all time. Touchdowns, catches, yards, the whole thing. But he's been hampered by injury. I think he's coming back. Last week also in that Jets game, without Julio and without A.J. Brown, Tannehill still threw for 298 yards. And he didn't get pushed around that much. But at the same time, everybody knew D. Henry was getting the rock. And he still had 157 yards in that game with, I think, two touchdowns. So I just feel like this is the Rocky Top Smash barbecue, Sunday barbecue. Get your barbecues ready. Because there is so much turmoil right now in Jacksonville, I can't even begin. And if anybody watches the news, I see the boneheaded moves these adult men make, these 65-year-old grown-ass men make in their lives, and I just can't understand it. I'm talking about Urban Meyer. He might have been the king of Ohio, but he ain't the king in Jacksonville. He is on the shit list. And when your owner comes out and says that's unacceptable and that's probably your last strike, and he says, I'm not considering resigning, you might not have a choice about resigning, bro. You might get fired. So, as you know, he decided to hang out and stay. They played Cincinnati on Thursday Night Football, and he decided he was going to stay in Cincinnati and go to his restaurant and hang out in Ohio.
You're saying Urban Meyer prepared for Tennessee by getting a lap dance?
Correct. And having his team completely turn on him right before they travel to Tennessee.
They do not respect him.
If I was on the team, I would tell Urban Meyer, I'm not getting on the plane. I'm staying in Tennessee. I'm staying in Nashville. I'm going to have some barbecue and go to Tootsie's and hang out. And I'll see you tomorrow, Herb. It's like the guy said he wanted to hang out with his he said he wanted to hang out with his grandkids. The girl that was lap dancing him did not look like his granddaughter to me last time I checked. And with that being said, you know, you ride together and you die together. Keyshawn Johnson said the other day that there's a lot of times when he was on the Jets and they would go to L.A. and play the Raiders or the Rams or whoever, and they'd stay an extra day because people had family members in L.A. and they wanted to stay in La La. They weren't going to practice, and the coach would say, we're going to leave on Monday. And but they left together.
They stayed together and they left together.
So if Herb Meyer wanted to hang out and get lap dances all night, number one, he should have invited his squad. And number two, he should have said, we're leaving tomorrow. Enjoy Cincinnati. I'm sure there's some spaghetti chili somewhere for you. And I'll see you all tomorrow. But he didn't do that. And it's not like they won the game. They lost. So I just think, why the hell would these guys want to play with him? I think he lost that locker room. I don't think this is a rah-rah moment. I think Trevor Lawrence has gotten a little better every week, and I think Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to look bad because Trevor Lawrence wants to be Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't want to look like a fool. But I think the rest of them, give me one reason why I should play for this guy. And if you don't like this guy at all and you want the guy fired, I'll tell you how to do it. Roll over. Take a dive. Sonny Liston their ass. I don't care what you do, but I don't see any motivation for these Jacksonville Jaguars coming off this week that they've had with their coach and Tennessee being furious with losing to the Jets. Give me Rocky Top. Give me Cashville. Give me it for all the money in the world. Broadway, baby. Holler and swaller.
Yee-haw.
Lock it up.
Bro, I don't even know what side of the bed you woke up on today, but you are so fucking razor sharp and on point, and I am backing all your plays. First, you came with Atlanta. Now you're coming with Tennessee. Jayville, you're a mess. I didn't even know I could call him Herb until you just said so. But I'm fading Herb also. Back that play all day long. And what'd you say? Herb didn't even abide by the code. It ain't no fun if the homies can't have
that. Exactly. Let the homies come to the restaurant. Herb by mistake.
Let the homies hang out with the grandkids.
Come on, dude.
First of all, if you're listening to any other podcast, you ain't going to get that handicap.
Yeah, let's talk about odds against Herb going out this week.
Holy shit.
I apologize. I'm so stupid. That was so dumb of me. That's all you got, Herb?
I got nothing else, bro. Call it.
Lock it up.
The Packers go to Cincinnati this week, and I just looked up the weather on both. And when I think Green Bay, I think cold. It's not cold. And when I think Cincinnati, I think rainy. It's not rainy. So what do you think's going to happen this week when they go to Cincinnati?
It's going to be cold.
Well, I've been watching these commercials with Aaron Rodgers and his little ski hat on with his sunglasses and he puts his bangs down in his face, strategically placed. But if you look at his fingers and you know how to play guitar, that motherfucker's a poser. And I'm going to tell you right now, he so desperately wants to be that guy. But bro, if you play guitar, if you're an actual rock and roller, you can spot a poser a mile away. And Aaron Rodgers, guess what? You don't get into the club tonight, motherfucker. Wait in line. You ain't all that. Let me tell you something right now. Do you know where you are? Because you're in the jungle, baby. And you're gonna die. Don't you dare come into Cincinnati with your fake ass fucking acoustic guitar and your fake ass Seattle beanie and your fake ass bang. That's right. I was on you, Aaron Rodgers, the last 2 weeks, but now I'm way off you, bro. And I'm back on my boy, Joey Covers. Joey Burrows, the LSU Bayou Bengal connection. And you know why? Because Cincinnati is healthy. For the first time, the Bengals' defense will be the healthiest they've been all season. They get back Bates, Bell, Cheeto, Trey Waynes, Ricardo. They're all going to be on the field for the first time. You know who's not going to be on the field? Pro Bowl Jair Alexander for Green Bay. That's too bad. You want to know why? Because Joey Burrow has T. Higgins back. And you know what T. Higgins gives Joey Burrow, or nay, should I call him Joey Covers? That gives him the three wide receiver set. T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase. All right? This is little brother versus big brother. This is Cincinnati's coming out party. Green Bay, they don't play well on the road. I love the Bengals getting three. Home dog at home. Let's go. Joey Burrow getting 3 points against Aaron Rodgers' banged up defense for Green Bay. This game is not going to be close. I'm calling for 34-24. It's going to be a track meet. Give me 3 additional days of rest for Cincy. Give me Zach Taylor, who looks so young that I'm pretty sure he was at my daughter's prom last year, but that's unconfirmed. He will have a game plan. I'm taking, and I know I've been accused of being Count Chocula and taking favorites, but this is my dog of the week. Take the Bengals. They're barking. Let's go, Joey Covers. What do you think, Jay?
I got to tell you, if you like getting the Bengals as a dog, you better bet them this week. Because the secret's out of the bag. The cat, or the bangle, whatever you want to call it, it's out of the bag. And they're no longer that sucker team anymore. So if these odds makers want to keep giving them 3 at home and keep giving them points, like they're still the Bengals, we're waiting for them to crush, we're waiting for them to fall, it's not happening, dude. And they also, their schedule is pretty weak. And they've got Jacksonville twice. They've got the Texans twice. They've got Tennessee twice. They can do some shit in this. They're a playoff team right now because they still got Jacksonville one more time.
Right now.
Last week, Joe Burrow threw for 348 yards and 2 touchdowns against Jacksonville on Thursday Night Football. He had a quarterback rating of 132.8. In the season, he's got 9 TDs, 4 picks, 250 yards a game, and with a QBR of about 113. He's got weapons, dude. He's got Chase, like you said. He's got Higgins. He's without Mixon, but Perrine is going to be in there. Perrine's a viable back. And the one thing about the Packers is, if they didn't play anybody but the Steelers last week, they'd have lost that game. Their defense is horrendous. Aaron Rodgers, when they're ahead, it's kind of like it's easy for him. When they're behind, he's going to throw the ball. Cincinnati's got D. Their rush defense is solid. And if it's not Aaron Jones, I feel like it's nobody. So it's like you got Aaron Jones and you got Davante Adams, and that's it. Their cornerbacks and their secondary is totally torched right now. Not to mention probably one of the worst cornerbacks, and I'll say this right now, King is number 43 for the Packers, one of the worst in the league, is out of the game. You're saying to yourself, good. The guy's terrible, but you know what he is? He's a starter because they don't have anyone better than him. And now he's gone, so they're thin. Jamar Chase, Joey Burrow, T. Higgins, Azuma, like, what else
Let's
do you need?
Let's go.
So I agree 100%, and I feel like the Packers are tasty because they're America's. They're one of America's teams, and Aaron Rodgers is too. He's not one of mine. But with that being said, I think this is a big game for Joey B, and I think that home crowd is going to be ready to roll. And I think it could be a little misty. It could be a little rainy. It could be a little cold. We don't know. But I do know one thing. Joe Burrow is a champion, and Joe Burrow is going to come out there ready to rock and roll. And Zach Taylor, to answer your question, might be a pretty good coach. Might be.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to the jungle. Lock it up, Cincinnati.
It's teaser time. 2 teams, 1 bet, 6 full points. So tasty.
So tasty. All right. If you're not playing our teasers, what the fuck is your problem? We are so undefeated. Do we need to tell you anymore? So, out of 4 weeks of giving you teasers, you're up 4-0. We're going to keep it going. It's on you to get to the window. Here we go. If you listen to this pod, I'm talking to my mom. I'm talking to T-Sister. Get on a plane. Go to Vegas. Put these teasers in. Are you ready?
Always ready for this section.
We're going to put together another winning teaser weekend. And I'm going to throw this out at you right now. Are you ready for this?
I'm always ready.
New England -2 to Minnesota -2.5. thoughts and reactions.
I don't see any way the Patriots lose that game. The Texans hung with one team all year, and that was the Cleveland Browns. And they were
Davis
in,
Mills.
Yeah, they were. They had Tyrod Taylor, and they were in Houston. I don't see that happening. They're in Houston this week, but I don't think that matters. The whole world out there is saying that if you want to bet Zimmer, this week's the week to do it. I think the Lions are horrible.
They're horrible.
And I don't know if you know this. I was secretly on the Lions last week, kind of like, you know.
Yes, yes.
They were on the one. They were on the 3-yard line, first and goal, three times. And when you look down at your phone, you see Chicago Bears had the ball because they could not punch it in. They could not finish the job. So they are pitiful. Their quarterback's pitiful. I like that. Another one I really like, to be honest with you, would be, and I say this with all the respect in the world.
Do it.
The Panthers +3 at home against the Philadelphia Eagles, I like a lot.
Okay.
And I like the Chicago Bears, Raiders. I love the Raiders getting a half.
Same.
At home, Monday night, pissed off. There's something out here. I live in Vegas. There's something out here when you're walking down the street and all you hear is Raiders, Raiders. And they went from Stephen A's A-list to the bottom of the heap just because they lost a Monday night football game. And I'll tell you what, they didn't do shit in that first half, but in the second half they gave L.A. a run for their money and what was like kind of a second home game for them. But now they go back to Allegiant. I think the Bears are shit. And I'm going to say one last thing about that. Matt Nagy's an idiot. Because Matt Nagy decided to start Justin Fields against the Cleveland Browns, and he got humiliated. Then he played again last week because Dalton wasn't ready against, which we just mentioned, the Detroit Lions, who are shit, and he looked okay. So Matt Nagy said, I'm starting him for the rest of the year because it's his time. Where's he about to go? To the Death Star, bro. To the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Not a good spot for Justin Fields. Again.
Nope.
Matt Nagy's a moron. And I think that this is a no-brainer. John Gruden coming off a loss is great. So I think there's a million things we could do. We just got to narrow it down. But those are the couple that I like out there.
Do you want to give out two this week? Do you want to press your luck?
No, I want to keep it. I want to keep it real because I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to mess up our string. And if we go two, then we're sure to. We're changing the vibe up. I don't want to change the vibe.
I hear you.
Let's give out one 5-star. FNL lock.
Do you like Carolina +3 more than Minnesota -2.5?
No.
Do you like Las Vegas +0.5 more than New England -2?
Yes and no. New England's on the road. The Raiders are at home. I always like to play a home team in the teaser.
Do you want to go Vegas +0.5 to Minutesota -2.5? Or do you want to go New England -2 to Minnesota -2.5. Is there any?
Let's go New England -2. Minnesota, I like. Let's go New England over this Raider thing because I don't want any implosion by Justin Fields goes crazy all of a sudden, which I don't think he's going to, by the way. Okay. I think that's a circuit pick also. But I just think the third-string quarterback for the Texans, the kid's got heart, but he's a third-string quarterback, and I just don't think they can do it. I just don't
Belichick against a third-stringer.
Coming off a loss, blah, blah, blah. I think this is a smoke job. You call it. Call it right now.
Are you ready to say our fifth teaser, our million-dollar teaser, New England -2 to Minnesota -2.5?
Lock it up.
This is a huge section. This section, we have dominated, okay? We've been on fire, not a humble brag, whatever. We took the Buffalo Bills last week. It's all T. T, are you ready to continue the momentum that we've been building? Because this is the Survivor section, and this is all you. T, what do you have this week?
It's a lot of pressure. Sheesh. I'm currently torn between 4 teams right now because you pick one team. So I guess in countdown, number 4 is Rams. Number 3 is the Vikings. Number 2 would be taking the Raiders. And number 1 would be taking the Pats. So I have a couple theories on all of those, I guess. So I'll start with the fourth one, which would be the Rams. They are doing very well, but they're playing Seattle. So who knows? They lost last week, so they may be angry. They're also not at home. So there's a couple different things that I don't trust in that. The Vikings, number three pick, would be... I almost feel like I'm most comfortable with this pick. They're the fourth most popular pick this week in terms of a Survivor League. So, yes, that's not one, two, or three, but at least I feel like the Titans was number one last week and my Bills, again, was quietly like maybe in third and I successfully made it happen. So maybe that's another theory that could go with that. But I could use the Vikings in week 13 in a future against Detroit. So that's a thing. The Raiders would be my number two. They're back at home, back in Vegas, and they're against the Bears, which I don't know. I don't hate the Bears, but I can't trust the Bears. They don't have a very good offense, but their defense can always seem to make things happen in the end. But if the Raiders start the game somewhat sloppy, they may not be able to recover. And then my number one would be the Patriots, because obviously for the very, very obvious reasons, they're mad, they're angry, they went up against the Super Bowl champions last week, almost won.
Should have won.
So their hearts are probably broken in 19 different pieces.
I'm going to say like Blayton Shelton says every Monday night, Tanya, who's your coach? Who do you choose as your coach?
I would say I'm up between... the Patriots and the Vikings, so I'm not sure.
I'm Who do you say, choose for your coach?
I'm going to say the Patriots.
Lock it
but
up!
But do I want to use them? I don't know. This is where it starts to get sticky. This is where it starts to get hard, and you don't want to lose a pick that you could use in a future. So
confidently to your two listeners out there.
T, is there any world you can envision where the Patriots lose to the Texans with a third-string QB against Belichick off a loss?
No, but that's because I feel like we're all used to the Tom Brady Patriots.
It's still Belichick.
I know.
He's still the GOAT
coach. He's not out there catching the ball.
I like Mac Jones.
I do, too.
Yeah, you're right. So I feel like that's probably the most confident pick. But again, that's a big team to pick right now in an early week. So
fair. Fair.
But anyways,
to lose the Patriots, if I'm going to lose the Patriots in a Survivor League, this is the week I would like to lose them. When else am I going to bet the Patriots? Maybe when they play the Jets, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I mean? Like, I'll take it.
So, T, you have a lot of good handicapping. You're kind of leaning towards the Vikes, the Raiders. I don't feel like you were as bullish on the Rams, but you were bullish on the Pats. So for me, it feels like your choices come down to Pats, Vikes, or Raiders. What are you thinking?
Honestly, I think I might do the Vikings.
Vikings. I love that.
I like it.
I love it. I love it.
That's the simple answer.
Let's go.
And when are you going to use them again? I like it.
Let's go. All right, let's recap. We like Atlanta in London, -3 against the Jets. We like the Browns, +2 in SoFi against the Chargers. We like Tennessee Rocky Top, -4.5 against the Jags. We like Cincy, +3 at home against the Pack. Our teaser is New England, -2. Tease to Minnesota Vikings, -2.5. And T's on fire Survivor pick, take the Vikes this weekend. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Friday Night Locks and Instagram at Friday Night Locks, where we post all our Circa contest picks every Saturday after 3 p.m. Those are our best bets. Follow us there.
This is the part of the show I hate the most. It's the saying goodbye, but we have to do it sometime. So, hey, guys, beat the book, lock it up, and beat the book. Cheers.
Thanks for listening, Mom.
Bye.
Have a great weekend to you, sister.
Bye.
Thank you for supporting Friday Night Locks by clicking the like and subscribe button and leaving us a review. Thanks again for tuning in, and see you all next week. Good luck at the book.